But the wounded beast had no more heart for the fight, obviously, and it ran off to the north, one last bolt of energy reaching forth from the warlock's bone staff to bite at it as it fled. "Formidable," half a Frenfear remarked, as Entreri finished off the last of the enemies.
"Thank you," replied the warlock.
"All of us, I mean," said the monk. "A capable band of five." Efren just chuckled as he walked past the trio. "Let us not tarry," Entreri called out to them. "Let us be far from this place before those two return, and likely with more friends." He ended by leaping to the side in seeming alarm, and his motion and gaze had Dahlia, the monk, and the dwarf beside her turning fast. The yeti Amber had killed stood up once more, brains dripping from the back of its exploded skull. It lumbered after Efren as he went on his way to the far side of the trail. A moment later, the eyes of the tiefling's bone staff flared yet again, and the yeti Entreri had killed by the wall shifted and stiffly rose to its feet.
"I'm not much liking this," Amber remarked,
and the dwarf priestess lifted her holy symbol.
"Get used to it,"
Efren replied without humor, and indeed, with a clear warning in his tone that he would not much appreciate any attempts the dwarf might make to drive his new pets away. The twisted warlock looked to Entreri and bade him,
"Lead on."
Entreri's eyes never left the warlock, or his two new pets. The assassin moved in front of his latest kill and retrieved the obsidian nightmare statuette. He could not summon his mount again so soon after the fight, so he tucked the figurine away into his pouch and waited for Dahlia and the others to catch up.
"Ye keep your beasties far back,"
Amber ordered Efren, as she and Afafrenfear fell into line behind Dahlia and Entreri.
"I'm only telling ye once."
Efren only gave a cynical little laugh. Despite the protests of the dwarf and the clear uneasiness of the others, when they made camp that night, the zombie yetis stood guard. Indeed, Efren kept the beasts beside them all the way through the mountain pass and onto the rolling hills south of the spine of the world, only releasing them back into death when the towers of Luskin came into sight. For even in that scurvy town, such monstrous undead guards would not likely find a warm welcome. They made their way to the city outskirts north of the river Mirar, where a group of the city garrison stood guard at the north gate.
"What business have you in the city of Sales?" asked one.
He looked at Dahlia as he spoke, but with apparent lust, not recognition. She had been a fugitive in Luskin, of course, and quite high in profile, having murdered one of the high captains and taken his enchanted cloak, which she now wore openly. But none of the group seemed to recognize her or any of them, reminding them of the benefit of their multi-year sleep. They had gone to Icewind Dale as fugitives, with many powerful enemies in pursuit, but now nearly two decades had passed.
"Passing through,"
Amber replied, and she moved in close and offered a handshake, cleverly slipping a gold coin into the guard's hand as he accepted her grip.
"Or might be staying, or might be signing on with a ship, who's to say?"
The guard nodded and glanced back over his shoulder, pointing to a structure not far down the road.
"One-Eyed Jax," he said. "That'd be the place for you."
"One-Eyed Jax," Entreri echoed suspiciously, holding out his arm to bar any others from walking past him.
"Aye, a fine inn and a common room for postings, ship or caravan,"
the guard replied. "Jax?" the assassin pressed.
"That's what he said,"
Amber interjected, but Entreri ignored her.
"The proprietor?"
"Aye, but that'd be a shortened version of his name,"
the guard replied hesitantly.
"Jarlaxle,"
Amber Gree blurted, catching on. The guard and his companions all blanched and looked around nervously, for such was clearly not a name to be spoken openly and loudly in Luskin. Entreri moved back, signaling his group around him.
"We go around the city," he told them quietly.
been wanting a warm bed?
Amber argued, no.
Bah! But I'll meet ye on the other side after one good night,
the dwarf bargained. No, Entreri flatly answered, and he pointedly turned away from the guard and mouthed silently to his companions. Would you so quickly tell all the world that we have returned to the land of the living? That gave Amber and the others pause. Entreri moved them away, motioning for the guard to remain behind.
You don't believe we can trust Jarlaxle?
Dahlia asked quietly when they were off to the side. Entreri snorted, as if the question itself was perfectly ridiculous.
He saved us,
Dahlia reminded him. Entreri snorted again. Yet another reason for me to hate him.
We were statues, we three,
half a friend Fear put in, indicating himself, Entreri, and Dahlia, all three who had been turned to stone by a Medusa in the dark environs of the Shadowfell, in the house of Lord Drago Quick.
Trapped forever in nothingness, unable to even go on to our afterlife.
Sounds like heaven, Entreri said dry. We go around the city, all of us, and not another word.
Are you deigning to speak for the whole group now?
Dahlia asked.
As you did in going to battle against Drizzt, you mean?
Entreri quickly retorted, and the woman backed off. The dwarf, the monk, and Efren exchanged glances.
Well, lead on then, ye dolt,
Amber said.
Next city in line. Port last, if she's still standing. I'm in need of a beer and a bed, don't ye doubt.
And a bath,
half a friend Fear added.
Don't ye get all stupid,
grumbled the dwarf. And with a farewell nod to the confused Luskin guard, the band turned east, around the city, and moved off down the road. Chapter 5 Huzzas and Hey-Hos. A ray of morning sunlight peeked in through the window and tickled Catty Bree's senses. She slowly came out of her wonderful night's sleep. She was naked, but huddled under piles of blankets and delightfully warm. And warmer still as memories of the previous night flooded through her. She reached back behind her at that warm thought, feeling for her companion, but he was not there. Surprised, Catty Bree moved up to her elbows and peeked out from under the edge of the blankets,